Okay, I've been asked to talk about access to food, particularly physical access to food. So I thought I'd structure my talk around four kind of key aspects in particular. So talking about this issue of physical access to food and asking kind of whether it is a problem and how really importantly how it should be conceptualised as well. And then leading on from that, talking a bit around, you know, what issues really kind of make up this problem of food access, what's the nature of the problem, what are some of the things that we need to think about. And then I wanted to spend a bit of time on two particular aspects that I see as kind of current barriers to solutions to overcoming issues of physical access to food, particularly how sometimes the issue of food poverty, including food access, can be framed as an issue of health. And second of all, the emphasis that's placed in our kind of food policy or lack of food policy on the work of markets and citizens being seen as consumers. And then I will talk a little bit about ways forward. So just to show you kind of where this 10 minutes really has come from, it's around two projects mostly, a piece of work that was done relating to food poverty and urban regeneration. And that was published in Community Development Journal and looked at what a two case study New Deal for Communities programmes did in relation to access to food and food poverty. Those were Salford and Braunston in Leicester. And the second one is I wanted to draw, particularly towards the end of the presentation, on some work that I did with Liz Dowler and also Moya Neefsi from the University of Coventry when I was based there previously. It was a DEFRA-funded piece of work in 2010 on consumer insights into food price rises and food security, because actually there were some really relevant findings in that too. In the outline, my work on emergency food provision, including the DEFRA review, was mentioned, but I haven't picked up a lot on that there here because there's not too much of relevance, but I can talk further afterwards. So in terms of physical access to food, a lot of work on this, particularly in the late 90s, early 2000s, when it was more of a fashionable topic, was kind of tied up with this idea of food deserts in particular, which actually ended up to be a very contested concept. Really, the kind of reviews of evidence that were done showed how problematic it was to get a handle on the exact role of geographical access to food in relation to determining people's experiences. And it was really felt, I think, by a lot of the other writers in the field that a single focus on geographical access wasn't especially helpful. However, I think when we look at other evidence, it seems that it's still an important issue. I was reading, going back actually to the low-income diet nutrition survey just yesterday, and even their findings highlight it as an issue. So as I've got here on the slide, in terms of reasons why people didn't always have the kind of foods they wanted, whilst 98% of people put that down to low income, when asked about other factors which also hindered their access to food, poor availability and quality in local shops, 38% of people put this as a reason. 33% of people said difficulty to getting to the shops was also a key reason. So I think access to food is one key aspect that we need to look at, but maybe we need to resituate it back into one of many different structural determinants which all together compound one another to kind of create this situation of food poverty and lack of access. But actually I think if we look at some of the concepts and terminology that's being used, you know, food security definitions do this very well already. So you know, the DEFRA's definition in terms of physical and economic access to sufficient food, it already does a lot of the way we talk about this problem, situates, I think, physical access to food in amongst all these various determinants anyway. So it's just a question of sort of location, I think, conceptually. But what kind of are we talking about? If I'm saying that it is one aspect we need to look at, what is this issue really? It's distance to shops, but it's also, you know, what shops are they accessing as well, and what kind of food is available in them, and how affordable is it? Is it healthy? And not just talking about access to supermarkets, we're talking about access to all kinds of other shops, local stores, and other aspects as well. And in the New Deal for Communities partnerships, one of the key issues of food access that came out really was, what was interesting was a commentary of, because the research was focused on the impact that the NDC had had, but actually a lot of people say, well, you know, taking a step back, our retail provision was in the decline much before, you know, over 20 years or so, and the NDC in no way stemmed that tide, but also we need to some people were very aware that this was a longer term trend of markets shutting and supermarkets kind of being more located out of towns. Very much the shops present were sort of selling unhealthy foods, poor retail provision generally, and what fresh food was sold was not of a good quality. But really importantly, access in terms of transport to shops was seen as really key. And that leads to my second point here, which is that I think when we talk about access to food, we need to talk about retail provision, but also transport infrastructures as well. Is that transport accessible and is it affordable? That was a key barrier in the case studies that I was working. People couldn't afford the bus, let alone the food when they got to the shops. So I think we need to see them both in a kind of as a whole in terms of the issue of food access. And interestingly, one of the most successful, I would argue, and I argue in this paper, projects in the Braunston Leicester NDC in terms of food was the Braunston Bus Initiative, which connected both sides of the estate to a local Tesco. And actually that wasn't seen as a food project at all by the NDC, the partnership, but actually it was one of the ones that had, people said, one of the most profound impacts. In terms of urban versus rural experiences, this is something that was an urban regeneration initiative I didn't pick up in the 2000 in the study with the New Deal for Communities. But our work with DEFRA in 2010 did bring this issue up, actually, and our workshops in rural areas in particular did highlight the fact that they had to use a car no matter what often, and the impact that rising petrol prices were having was a real kind of issue. So I think we do need to be aware and probably do a bit more work on what the urban versus rural experiences really are like. In terms of barriers to solutions, then, one of the things that really struck me in the New Deal for Communities work was how the whole issue of food was seen as an issue of health by both projects and actually across a lot of the NDCs. So the New Deal for Communities Urban Regeneration Initiative, each partnership, there were six streams, three kind of people-based sets of issues and three place-based ones. And food was exclusively actually located within the health stream. And this, I think we can trace that back to lots of different factors. But the consequence of this was very much that food was seen as health. It was actually seen as healthy behaviour. Therefore, the interventions were very behaviourally focused. And so we're seeing cooking projects and food skills, which, you know, the evidence does show us is their kind of impacts are minimal and ultimately they don't do anything about the structural determinants. So whilst a lot of the NDC practitioners were very proud of their initiatives and interventions based on skills, actually, you know, the kind of evidence that impact that has in the longer term is problematic. So actually the way that it was seen as health was, I think, really tricky. And, you know, Martin Carahan and others have written about how that can be problematic in terms of health practitioners seeing as some of those structural issues are outside of their kind of remit, so they don't do that kind of work. And ultimately, at the end of 10 years, the key barriers to food access still remained in both areas. You know, the shops weren't kind of good enough, the provision wasn't adequate at all, it was expensive, and the transport was very expensive also. But I think another issue, and which one is raised in the working paper that Cameron writes about, it, you know, interventions in terms of making retail more present in local communities. I think one of the problems that we have when we're looking towards tangible solutions is the ultimate focus or lack of focus of food policy, I guess, and the emphasis on markets, the food market or the employment market, in making it all work, and sort of very much standing back on that. And ultimately, people being seen as consumers in a lot of these policy documents. So our work in 2010 and the publications from that really, really highlight that. But I think I would argue that rising food poverty really does indicate that this approach ultimately isn't working. But I think really importantly and interestingly from our work for DEFRA, consumers don't see themselves as this, as citizens don't see themselves in this kind of empowered consumer role. They want government to temper market forces. They think it should be government's responsibility to do so. They don't feel empowered. And particularly the low-income people that we surveyed and did workshop with really were acutely aware of the structural forces that were defining the choices they were having to make. And actually, interestingly, 45% of people within the survey that we did felt that it was government's responsibility to ensure access to affordable food outlets without the need to use a car or a taxi, which I think is actually quite a high proportion. So I think not only is this lack of policy, I guess, or this approach isn't working, also it's not something that I think citizens identify with either. So in terms of recommendations, I think access to food should be seen as one of several national, local and global structural determinants of food poverty. But the issue of, I think, food poverty should be seen as both a people in terms of income and place-based phenomena in terms of retail and services and transport infrastructures, and that these should all be addressed alongside one another ultimately. In terms of particular ways forward, I think Cameron's working paper did a really nice job of highlighting some of the proposals that others have kind of set forth, and I think some of those are particularly good. I think mapping and getting a better handle on this is one of the is a kind of important first step, but also I think more innovative planning processes are needed. What do local communities want to see? And a focus on local retail as well in whatever shape that looks like, really, I think.